Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready for another one against the Rangers, and we've decided to use Jesse Agler's talents in the studio of Padres Social Hour, even though some wanted to put him on the baseball field.
Why not? Because he would be the best player in the history of Major League Baseball.
Why not?
Why not? You're absolutely right.
Our other host is Mike Grace, who would love to see Jesse playing every day, because then he could do more hosting and get more hours on the old timesheet.
I'm going to try to make $1 million this year, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
So, like, serious question, how much are they paying you to do this? You're going to make $1 million this year?
I'm not at liberty to say.
I need to renegotiate my deal. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. That's Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. I assure you neither of us will make $1 million this year. Blooper, who knows? Maybe Blooper will.
I hear he's quite the day trader when he's not around us.
That's it. He just sits there. He's got his E-Trade up the whole time, and he's moving and shaking on Wall Street. Remember that big Wall Street crash a couple weeks ago? That was all Blooper.
Oh,
he sold all of his Apple, and the whole market went crazy. Welcome to the AMR studio at Petco Park. I haven't been here in like a week or so, so it's nice to be back. And it is particularly nice to talk about a blowout victory. You need laughers. There are 162 games, 162 of these in the regular season. And the more you have like last night, the better, man, where you can just kind of at some point kick back, relax, enjoy it as a fan, whether you're watching on TV or listening on the radio or here at Petco Park. You just kind of enjoy it. You're not stressed out. You're not worried about it. So we'll talk about last night's game. But also today, Mike, is one of those big days on the baseball calendar.
Yep.
9-1. September 1st, rosters expand, and the Padres did make a couple of additions to their 25-man roster, which can now be more than 25 men. Not huge moves, could be more to come, and a lot to talk about with that. So Bill Center is going to stop by later. He knows this minor league system inside and out, as well, I would say, as any person who does not work in the Padres front office. So he'll get us all caught up on those kinds of things. But Marcus Mateo is back, the relief pitcher who had been on the disabled list with a neck injury. And Nick Vincent is back. He had been up and down a few times earlier this season between the Padres and the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas. But I don't think there's any surprise. The reinforcements coming in the form of bullpen arms.
There's a lot of bullpen arms available. I'm really excited to see Nick Vincent back up here. We've seen some really, really strong things from him in the past. He's been as strong as a seventh-inning guy. He was your come-in-with-runners-on-base guy. And people have talked about having one of the best cutters in the game. Hopefully he's figured it out over the course of this year and can be a big piece moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Vincent last season was a critical piece of a really, really good bullpen.
Exactly.
And he had his struggles, you know, this year. And because of that, he was up and down. You know, and he was back and forth on that flight between San Diego and El Paso. So you're hoping that things are calmed down for him and better, and that the Ramona native is back to business. So we'll see Nick Vincent back in a Padre uniform tonight, which is something to be excited about, I think, for a lot of reasons. All right, so 7-0 was the final score last night. That's a good way to start a homestand.
It really was. And even before the big sixth inning, when the Padres score four runs, I think you felt really good about that game. The way Tyson looked, it was like the complete game shutout he had before. He just looked absolutely in command. I mean, he had a couple little moments of trepidation there, but for the most part, felt like he was as locked in as he had been all year, and that's when you feel good. You get a couple runs, give him a lead, and when he looks like that, you feel really good about your chances of winning the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun when the offense scores seven runs to begin the conversation about the game, about the pitcher. And it's absolutely the right thing to do from yesterday. Guy goes seven shutout innings. He just, you know, dominates, really. He's got the strikeouts. He's keeping the walks down. Just three hits. Just three hits for Tyson Ross, who has been so, so good, really going back a few months now. And, you know, it's so funny because we talk about the slider, and he throws the slider so much, and he does. But last night, the fastball location, it was the complete package for Tyson Ross. And we're seeing, again, like we did in that complete game at Arizona, what he's capable of when it's all locked in. And it's really, really good.
Yeah, he's been the most consistent starter by far. I don't think there's anybody that would question that. And we've talked about him taking that step. He's got the talent. He's got the ability to be a number one type pitcher. And for this team to have been really good this year, you needed him or Cashner or Shields to pitch like a number one. They haven't quite been there. But if he can make those steps now, there's probably a little less pressure on the team to win these ball games, go out there, do what he's doing now, and I think that's going to bode well really for his future, but also this team's.
Yeah. All right, so Tyson Ross did his thing last night. We got to talk about the seven, and that was the number of runs that the Padres scored last night. One of the cool things was, as long as we're talking about pitching, Colby Lewis, what a really nice year.
Absolutely.
For the Texas Rangers. He comes in with 14 victories. Only two guys in the American League had won 15 at the beginning of the night yesterday. And the Padres ensured he would not become the third to win 15 games in the American League. Six runs, seven hits in 5 2/3 innings. He couldn't get out of the sixth. And once again, as they have in a lot of their recent victories, Padres put together a huge inning. And we're not going to do the did they bat around thing or not with the 9 and the 10 because I beat that into the ground. But they did send, 10 to the plate?
They did.
In the sixth inning, so they absolutely batted around, no matter which side of that argument you're on. And it was just fun seeing the runs just keep coming and coming and coming. They've gotten good at the adding on, and that's such an important thing for a team.
Yeah, that was great. And just keep putting pressure, putting the ball in play. You saw the error from the Rangers, and those are the things that just kind of build momentum, whether you believe in momentum or not. But still, I think good at-bats carry over to good at-bats. And good to see the young guys, the guys with speed. That was what was really fun last night. Spangenberg, Jankowski, extra base hits, stealing bases. Matt Kemp stealing a base last night. So a lot of activity on the baselines because no home runs. So good clutch hitting, and that was kind of what we've been looking for all year. The offense doing exactly what they're supposed to do, the pitching doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and you get a great 7-0 shutout win. And that, we've been waiting for that all year. Hopefully, again, building momentum for the future, keep this team together on some level, and feel good about what this team could be.
That was the blueprint win. That was the way we expected it to look at the beginning of the season. Not necessarily 7-0 every night, but you're going to get those contributions from up and down the batting order. You're going to get the dominant pitching. And credit to Bud Norris, by the way. We're sitting here talking about Tyson Ross, as we should be,
right?
7 shutout innings. But Bud Norris comes out and he pitches a perfect 8th and a perfect 9th. Again, saving some bullpen arms. And for him, he's had the little bit of the groin issue, whatever it is, the last week and a half or so, to be able to go out there, feel good enough, and be that effective is a nice kind of building block for a guy that is kind of an interesting piece moving forward for the Padres.
A really interesting piece. I mean, we'd seen him come through a little bit with the Astros over the years. And, to watch him hit 96 coming out of the pen, I know he wants to start, and maybe he's still got a future there, whether it's with the Padres or another team. But no matter what happens, I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in him as a bullpen piece, no matter where it goes as a starter. So, yeah, cool to see 2 innings. I mean, that was big. The bullpen has been used a lot lately, so that was nice. And, again, like you said, blueprint win, so a lot of fun.
As long as we're talking about Bud Norris and Tyson Ross, this wasn't those two guys shutting out a random team.
No.
This was the two guys shutting out the team. It was the best offensive team in baseball since the All-Star break. 3 separate 6-game hitting streaks came to an end for the Rangers last night. Think about that. 3 guys came into the game last night with 6-game hitting streaks for Texas. All gone. All
right.
Gone. What, 2 different guys had hits, right?
Yeah.
Andrews had 2. 2 guys got hits against the Padres last
night. And what, Chu had a 34-game on-base streak that got broken as well, which is, maybe even a bigger accomplishment than that.
Every game he had started since the All-Star break, he had reached base.
And this team has been playing really well recently, too. They added Will Venable. They've been, 1-8 of their last 12. So it's not like you're beating up on a cookie there. You're beating up on a team that's playing really well and playing for a lot right now. They're, they're right in the thick of everything. So
they had hopped 4 teams in the American League wildcard standings in, the last 2 weeks. That's how good the Texas Rangers have been. That's how hot the Texas Rangers have been. And the Padres absolutely extinguished any fire that they had going last night. You mentioned Will Venable. Certainly got to talk a little bit about him. It was weird seeing him in that blue Texas Ranger uniform. He did reach base last night. He drew a walk. And Will, by the way, has now reached in every game, either by hit, walk, hit by pitch, whatever, since coming over to the Rangers, 8 or 9 games. But some hugs certainly exchanged beforehand. A nice moment in the outfield in the middle of the first inning as well. He was put up on the video board, and everybody got a chance to kind of pay some respect to Will Venable. But that was it was nice. I haven't had a chance. I tried to go over to their clubhouse yesterday. They were in a meeting. But, he's one of those guys you want to go out of your way to go say hi to and welcome back and shake his hand and thank him for everything.
Yeah, you really do, and it's good. He got to go back to the state that he lives in. You don't have to worry about him having success against your team other than in this series, so you can feel good about him playing well with the Rangers. So I like that, because obviously if you traded somebody in division or in the National League, you don't want him to have a lot of success against you, so he can go over there, compete, maybe get into the playoffs for the first time, I think, in his career. So that would be exciting for him. But like you said, we talked a lot about what a good guy he is. He's the type of guy that you want to go out of your way and say hello to and welcome back. And the fans did a great job welcoming back. I thought that was a real nice showing by the
all
by
class,
the fans.
All yeah. class last night by the fans of Petco. Not that anybody should be surprised by that. All right, two other guys I want to call out for individual performances last night. And how nice is it for us to be able to talk this long about different good things happening in a game? But yesterday certainly lends itself to that. Travis Jankowski, first major league stolen base, first major league extra base hit, and it was a stand-up triple, which I thought was fitting because we've talked so much about how fast Travis Jankowski is. And so for his first hit of extra bases to be a standing triple, I think tells the entire story. You know, he started off on fire here on that last homestand, right? He was getting on base, it seemed like, every single time he came up. And then on the road trip, he got, you know, some everyday playing, and he was 0-for-15 on the trip. But he comes back yesterday, and he comes up with a couple of hits, the triple. He scores a run. He steals a base. He's a fun guy to watch.
No, he's really fun. And you see him hit the ball down the line right there, and the first thing you think, okay, this guy's got three. He's got a great chance at three because – I don't know. For me, probably the most exciting play outside of the suicide squeeze is a triple. I just love to see these center fielders like Mike Cameron back in the day just rounding the bases for three, and it's just so fun and so athletic to watch. So he brings a different element. You know, Spangenberg, there's some other guys with speed, and maybe even Melvin Upton's got some of this too, but just having the new shiny outfielder out there, and that was cool to get the stolen base, and then a stand-up triple. I mean, there was no doubt about that one.
And he's cruising the last 45 feet, by the way. It wasn't like he's got to go full throttle all the way into third base. Like, it was a triple. It was never going to be an inside the park home run, and he started pulling up. It looked like almost halfway between second and third, and he had it no problem. So that was a lot of fun. All right, another guy to call out, and then we'll get to some other stuff. Yanhervis Solarte, and not even for the bat, which has been so good, but defensively, a couple of really nice plays at third base for Solarte. Look, he's had some missteps. He's had some errors, you know, in the last week or so, but a couple of tough plays last night, and we are going to reward Yanhervis by giving him the Montalvo Tequila Smooth Plays, plural, plays of the game. Delino DeShields Jr., 10 bunt hits, more than anybody else in the American League, takes one away from him, and then on the big shift, playing in a weird place behind the bag at second, Prince Fielder, he kind of lost it out of the glove, recovered it with the bare hand, threw across the body. Those were a couple of awesome defensive plays by Solarte.
Oh, absolutely, and he had the error earlier in the game, so it was really good to see him come back and make those tough plays. As far as smooth plays go, I think that first play coming in on the infield, you know, the short play down the third base line, that was as smooth as it looked. I mean, a perfect grab in the bare hand because he could have taken it with a glove, but he got a nice hand on it, and that was really, really smooth. The play up the middle, it may have looked a little more awkward, but I think that was the tougher play.
Yes.
Because he had been playing third base all night. He's going to his right over the second base bag. So, you know, whatever you want to call it, smooth play, great play. He made a big, big difference in the field last night.
Yeah, a couple of awesome plays. The Montalvo Tequila Smooth Plays of the Game. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. The first play, by the way, the bunt, you know, first of all, DeShields is out by like a step and a half, which
wasn't
is
even
crazy,
close.
Which is crazy when you consider how fast he is. And the other thing I thought, the throw was so money. You know,
right,
after the bad throw earlier in the game, you know, charging in with the bare hand, throwing across the body. I mean, he made an absolutely perfect throw. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got Twitter questions coming in already. Remember, you can use the hashtag PadresSH to join the conversation. That's all you have to do. You ask your question, you make your comment, you tag it with the hashtag PadresSH, and we'll get to as many of those as we can throughout the show. Bill Center, our dear friend, is going to stop by a little bit later, talk to us about the Padres minor league situation when it comes to September call-ups, who could be coming, some awards being given out, including a really big one to Alex Dickerson. So we'll talk about all of that coming up later as well. We're going to have some fun. Mike Grace, Jesse Agler, Blooper, Becky, the whole crew here at the AMR studio. Hey, be at Petco Park this Friday night for the last Padres Beer Fest of the season. Check out a wide selection of $5 beers from local and national breweries at this happy hour event before the Padres take on the Dodgers. Tickets and packages are available at Padres.com/beerfest. The last one of the year, Padres.com/beerfest. Take a break. Come back when we return. Your questions, your comments. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. AMR Studio at Petco Park, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. With Mike Grace, I'm Jesse Agler. We just talked a lot about the big 7-0 win over the Texas Rangers, which was a lot of fun last night. That's a nice way to start a homestand. And we're going to turn our attention briefly, though, a little bit off the field. It's not totally off the field. It's kind of off the field. The San Diego Padres. I imagine most Padre fans, particularly those who watch this show, and those are your hardcore diehard fans, they have heard of the Padres, but they may not know everything they need to know about the Padres. This is my second season here. Mike's been here forever. Mike was on the pod squad the last time the Padres won the pennant. So Mike is, but I'm new, right? This is my second season with the Padres, my second season in San Diego, and one of the very first groups I was introduced to were the Padres, and the way they made me feel welcome and at home was incredibly special. So I, on a personal note, am very appreciative for everything that they do, and the current president of the Padres, Stevie Vigevino, is here, and Stevie is going to tell us a little
Good
bit more
you.
About this. Thank you very much, Stevie. welcome, first of all.
Thank you
for coming by. And so let's start here. For someone who has never heard of the Padres somehow, shame on you. The brief overview.
Have you?
Yeah. let everybody know who you guys are and maybe more importantly, what you're all about.
The San Diego Padres were founded in 1972, actually, by players' wives. And they retained that for a couple of years, but as MLB players gained more and more visibility, the wives wanted a little more privacy. And so gradually it became a fan club, predominantly, in fact, exclusively women for a number of years, and then men were added. And we incorporated as 501c3 nonprofit in 1981. And have been loosely affiliated with the Padres throughout the years. The Padres have been good to us, and in turn, we've tried to be good to the Padres. We work Fan Fest for them. A lot of us are members of the Padres volunteer team. We'll be here for Shirts Off Their Back. The Padres also provide us with a media guest and a player guest for most of our in-season luncheons. As a matter of fact, both of you were media guests at the Padres luncheons this year.
Yes,
and
you
were a couple of our most popular, I must say.
Oh, no. Oh, come on, Steve.
They're the sweetest.
They really are. It's like just the nicest people in the world who all really, really, really care about the Padres and beyond that about this community. And that's such a big part of it as well.
It is our mission to provide the funding for every young person in San Diego County who wants to play baseball or softball. We want to make that possible. And so we hold fundraisers. We have social events. We do things throughout the year to raise monies for young people and for Little League and youth baseball, which most of us know is Pony League. So, and we were certainly proud of our most recent adventure for all of us when Sweetwater Valley went to the Little League World Series, and they comported themselves in such a, honestly, a mature way. It made all of us so proud of what we try to do and of the young people in San Diego.
No, they were really, really great kids, and I mean, you guys have supported so many teams over the years. I mean, the number each year, how many teams do you guys support each year? It's getting really, really high.
Actually, what we do is we support leagues.
Okay.
And the leagues can get sponsorship from the Padres simply by applying on our website, which is sandiegomadres.org. And we do screen the leagues, and they do have to be certain age groups. In Pony League, it would be the Broncos and lower, and in Little League, it would be the majors. Generally 13 or 14 years old, and then we give the monies to the league, and generally they use that to sponsor a team or two. Mm-hmm. So last year we sponsored 41 teams, three challenger teams. I mean, 41 leagues and three challenger leagues, and that represented a little under 500 teams.
Right, so. And the challenger leagues are the special needs.
Those are children.
Such special events and special leagues. I mean, and if you've ever seen those fields, they're so neat, and those kids are just so awesome. So that's such a neat cause.
And also, the challenger teams, we allot twice as much funding as we do for just regular teams.
Stevie Vigevino is the president of the San Diego Madres. The website, I just want to get it out there as many times as we can, sandiegomadres.org, where people can get more information, and they can sign up to join you. You mentioned the luncheons, which I have been lucky enough to be a part of a couple of times. What maybe some of the other things that people are signing up for when they can get involved?
To get involved with the Madres, by the way, you can go to our website, sandiegomadres.org, and there's an application there. There really are no requirements. It's nice if you're a baseball fan and a Padre fan. Our mission is to support youth baseball and softball in San Diego County. So that's what you're kind of signing up for with us. And our annual dues are just $25, which is a bargain. We put out a monthly newsletter, and we have 8 luncheons a year. So basically through the preseason and postseason.
Soon enough.
Too bad that this year we won't have. We've not been able to have postseason luncheons a couple of times because the Padres have been playing. But
that's the ideal situation.
That's why you guys are such great fans. You're here no matter what.
No matter what. One last thing I'd like to mention is we have a choir, and we started that choir maybe 10 years ago, and we're actually singing the national anthem tomorrow here in Petco Park. So we're pretty proud of our choir.
You should be. And so any member open to join the choir? Their tryouts? How stringent of a situation is this year?
You don't even have to be able to carry a tune in a wet paper bag, honestly.
It's all about the camaraderie, right?
And I'm in it, so there's living proof.
I'm sure it'll sound beautiful tomorrow night. Looking forward to that national anthem. Please do check out the website, sandiegomadres.org. Such a great job fundraising for youth baseball and softball here in this community, and just hanging out with a bunch of awesome Padre fans. What could be bad? Stevie, really do appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
And hopefully you get some new signups after this.
Hopefully we do.
All right, that's
awesome.
Thank
you, guys.
All right, everybody, check out the website, sandiegomadres.org. We'll take a break when we come back into your questions and your comments on Twitter. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy 2 select tires and get 2 free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy 2, get 2. Your questions, your comments when we return. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace, thanks to Stevie from the Madres for stopping by. Now that she is no longer here, like, they're just honestly like the sweetest, nicest people in the world.
It's weird because you go and you talk to them and they just like are just so good to the soul that like all they really care about is the Padres. And it's funny, you go to the luncheon, they ask the best questions.
100%.
Like, really legitimately good baseball questions. Like, they went to Baseball Reference and broke down some splits. Darren Balsley was there when I was there, and he was just blown away by the questions they're asking. And like, it's, like,
100%.
Legitimately good entertainment. Like, I learned a lot that day.
Yeah. It's a group of people who really, really, really care about the Padres, but also really, really care about doing good things in this community, youth baseball, softball, and that all comes together. And if you are a male person, don't be intimidated by the name.
No.
As Stevie said, men have been allowed into the Madres for many years now, and there are male members. But it's fun, and it's always good to grow a group like that. So in all seriousness, check them out, sandiegomadres.org. Talking a lot about the 7-0 win yesterday, but, you know, there are big picture things certainly to discuss for this team. We talked about the fact that it's September 1st, a couple of call-ups made, Marcus Mateo, Nick Vincent here to help fortify the bullpen a little bit. Another big piece of news today is that Will Myers is beginning his rehab assignment tonight with the Storm up at Lake Elsinore, and so he begins the process of coming back. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. There's a week left in the minor league season. So he's got a week where he can play rehab assignment games. I don't know that he would necessarily be ready to come back and face major league pitching as a starter after a week, you know, with missing the amount of time that he missed. Maybe he can. I don't know.
It depends on if you ask him or if you ask somebody else.
Sure. No, he'll tell you no problem. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how they handle that. And maybe it's a little bit of an at-bat here, pinch hit only. I don't know. We can talk to Bill Center about that coming up in a little bit, too. It'll be very, very interesting to see how they handle the Will Myers situation. All right, so let's get to some tweets. As we said, the hashtag is PadresSH. That's how you jump in on the conversation. Good old Jellyman is up first, Mike. And he says, what do you think about a rotation where Tyson Ross is number one and Shields is number two?
We're there, right? I mean, the order isn't there, but Tyson has proven himself to be the guy that you want.
He's been the best pitcher on the roster this year. He's been the best starting pitcher.
Hands down.
I think he has. They're going to
end up with around the same amount of innings. The ERA is going to be significantly lower. And, I mean, for what Tyson's doing now, do I think he's moved into the legitimate ace conversation? I mean, whatever, that's a theoretical thing. But he's getting close. Shields is just going to be a horse. He's going to go out there. He's going to give you your innings. I think he's still making some adjustments to the National League game. Mm-hmm. I think it's very different. You know, he could go out there, still get his 7-8 innings. He's not going to get pinch hit for it. There hasn't been quite the adjustment to the National League. Hopefully he's going to get there, and I think he will. He's a smart guy.
James Shields will have better numbers next year than he did this year. Mark it down. Take a picture. Like, there is no doubt in my mind. And let's not act like James Shields hasn't been good.
Exactly.
He hasn't been necessarily dominant, you know, over the course of the season. He's been solid. You know, he's been a workhorse, you know, like you said. His numbers will be better next year. The whole 1-2 situation, it's a little silly. I think particularly at this point in the season for a team like the Padres, when you're talking about setting your postseason rotation, that's one thing. That's not the situation that we're in, obviously. But Tyson Ross has pitched extremely well. And let's not overshadow Ian Kennedy, who has really been very, very consistent over the last, you know, couple months, I guess, at this point.
No, he's been so good. And we've talked a lot, especially since the trade deadline, because there was so much out there about how he's gone for nothing. I mean, I think he's easily worked himself into the qualifying offer at this point. So if he does leave the Padres, you can get a draft pick for him. But at the same time, say he took the qualifying offer, which nobody ever does, Ian Kennedy on a one-year deal for $15, $16 million is not a bad thing at all. I feel great about that, having him on this rotation again. So he's really helped himself into his own free agency, but he's helped the Padres be able to use him as a valuable asset, whether he's a part of this team this year, I mean, excuse me, next year or not.
Yeah. Amazing thing about Kennedy is I'm remembering a start he had in May up in Seattle, and it was just weird. The velocity, you know, which is normally, you know, 92,
right.
93. He was like 88, 89. He didn't look comfortable out on the mound. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, man, what's going on with Ian Kennedy? And he's figured it out, you know, and it hasn't been the easiest year for him. It just didn't come for him the way it did last year when he had one of his better years of his career. And he's like, he's adjusted, and I'm sure he's worked hard with Darren Balsley, and he's gotten better and better and better as the year has gone on, to the point where he's a really, really good pitcher right now for the Padres out of this rotation.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the statistics, he's having a really weird year. The home run rate, now, it's not totally fluky because the home runs are they're getting hit hard, especially, you know, months ago. Mm. But that bodes well for the future, that his fly ball to home run rate, it's got to improve because he's so far away from league average at this point that it's more than just a statistical anomaly. It's a little weird. And like we've said, so many things this year have been weird, but his numbers are pretty weird. So,
yeah, no, he had a strange year.
I feel great about him going forward.
Me too, absolutely.
Hopefully part of this team.
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point, sign me up. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that when you consider what he's been able to bring to the table. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Bill Center is here. We're going to talk to Bill about the September call-ups, who is here, who could be here for the Padres. Also about some big news around the minor leagues, both of the team variety and the individual variety. It is that time of year where we start talking about who could be next for this ball club. So Bill is an expert as far as I'm concerned on that topic, and he will be with us when we come back. Come to Petco Park on Saturday to be one of the lucky fans to receive a surprise giveaway item as part of Baseball Night in San Diego. And then stay after the 5:40 game against the Dodgers as Will Ferrell premieres his comedy special, Ferrell Takes the Field. Get tickets at Padres.com. So if you're one of the first few in, you get the grab bag, and then everybody gets to watch the premiere, world premiere of Ferrell Takes the Field on HBO and on the big video board in left field. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bill joins us. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR Studios right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United. We are live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Bill Center has joined us here. Bill is our sort of resident minor league expert, and sometimes we call him Bill the Scout. And what makes him Bill the Scout? Obviously, the hat is what makes him. I believe you're wearing it sideways. Can we start there?
Okay. Am I?
Yeah, no, there
it's
you
a little crooked.
Okay.
Now, when you're a scout,
it barely fits.
It's a beautiful overcast day, but we do still need to protect him from the sun.
Right. Look, when you're a scout, you sit out in the sun and you wear
all day
floppy hats
because you got to protect yourself from the harmful UV rays that come through, even on a cloudy day. By the way,
even with the marine layer here,
it can still get through.
Right.
And you got to be smart about that.
It's the lights.
It's well in here, yes, but no, you're going to scout for us. And we don't need to call elder services or anything, do we?
No.
We're okay. Okay. All right, good.
He's smiling.
You signed the consent form. Everything is okay. Before we get to the minor league stuff, I mentioned it very much in passing just a moment ago, but Will Myers going out on his rehab assignment to Lake Elsinore, that is our AMR injury report, and that is as encouraging a thing as we've had in however long amount of time. Hasn't played regularly since May. He was hitting 291 when he got hurt. Tried to come back. It didn't last long. Had to have the surgery. And now Myers to Elsinore tonight to begin this process. Where does it go from here, though?
Well, it's very interesting because, say, El Paso makes the Pacific Coast League playoffs. They're a half game out of the division lead right now. PCL, you have to win your division to go to the playoffs. But were they to win, you are allowed to have a player on a rehab assignment at play in the playoffs, so he could go from Lake Elsinore and be with El Paso until their season ends. So he might only have a week in rehab. He might have two if El Paso advances.
All right, so something to keep an eye on, sort of a day-by-day situation.
Right.
All right, so Will Myers beginning the rehab assignment tonight at Lake Elsinore. That is the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical response team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. All right, so let's move on now, and this is, again, why you're wearing the hat, because you're Bill the Scout. We're going to talk about the minor leagues. Let's start with the call-ups, though. September is here. Two relievers brought up by the Padres today.
No surprise. I mean, El Paso's in a title race, but at the same time, the number one concern is what happens here at the major league level. They did need relievers. They needed help in a bullpen, and they went out and they brought up Nick Vincent, and they also brought Marcus Mateo off of the rehab assignment. So they added two relief pitchers, helps their bullpen without damaging El Paso, because El Paso did have a surplus of bullpen. So everything's okay.
And
we'll see. I think you're going to see Liriano. I think you're going to see Alex Dickerson for sure. There could be maybe Will Middlebrooks if he's feeling well, but he's been dealing with plantar fasciitis. So you're going to see a couple more guys, but they're not going to call those guys up until El Paso's out of the race one way or another.
You mentioned Alex Dickerson. We saw him here for a couple of days. How about this? Today, Pacific Coast League Rookie of the Year, Alex Dickerson. That's a pretty big honor.
One day after he was named to the All-PCL postseason team. That's a great honor. And I think he is developing into a really legitimate corner outfield prospect. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what the future holds.
I mean, is there a chance for him to move to first base legitimately? Because, you know, the corner outfields here are kind of booked up. I think he could have a real impact if he can move to first base and be an asset there, don't you think?
Well, I think Myers might be the first baseman of the future. It's going to be very interesting to see who's at first base next year. I think right now Dickerson's a better corner outfielder than he is a first baseman.
Wouldn't you say that about Will Myers, though, too?
I think Will Myers can play anywhere.
I
think
agree.
Will Myers could play third base, to be perfectly honest.
All right, all things to keep our eyes on next year. I have a feeling during spring training we're going to be having a lot of conversations about, you know, this guy playing this position and that
absolutely.
Position.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to see a lot of experimentation.
I'm sorry. I know I asked you to put the hat on, but I can't even take you seriously. You can take it off. You can take
ta-da.
It off. We're having serious.
Oh, he wasn't attached? I thought he would keep it on even with that
no,
offer.
He hates the hat. He hates the hat. I felt
I
bad.
Actually,
we
I
got
don't
to
mind
a point.
It.
What's more ridiculous, that or the thing I did last night with Mark Grant?
Which was with the
superhero masks?
Right, the superhero masks.
Which looked more ridiculous, you in that hat or me with the mask last night?
I think it's a tie.
Okay.
Now, The fortune-telling hat, that's even worse.
Oh, yeah, Bill the Magnificent.
Right,
yeah, he's different than Bill the Scout.
Right. I don't mind Bill the Scout hat so
okay.
much.
Well, because you got to be sun smart.
The amazing part is, if you knew Bill like 2 or 3 years ago when he was just your beat reporter guy, to see him wearing goofy hats on TV, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Hey, I wore the SpongeBob hat in the press box.
Yeah, but that's a personal thing for you.
Okay.
Oh, there it is from last night.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a very serious occasion last night in the broadcast booth. Oh, Blooper's got a whole thing he made here, huh?
Yeah. I did think it was a step backwards in your career.
It probably was. It probably isn't going to help me get any jobs, I would say. But, yeah, no, I think that's more ridiculous than the hat you were just
knowing
wearing.
Knowing you, that's more ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's fair also. Got a question came in from Glenn on Twitter, Bill, which I think is a good one as we're talking about the minor leagues and we're talking about September call-ups. And Glenn wants to know, Bill, if there is a reliable right-handed pinch hitter type guy that could be called up. We've got Brett Wallace, who's just cranking. From the left side right now is
right.
a pinch hitter. I don't know if Glenn is thinking particularly of Cody Decker or of somebody else, but a right-handed pinch hit type guy down
well,
there.
Cody Decker right now, honestly, is not an everyday starter for at El Paso. I don't think he's not on the 40-man. I don't see Cody Decker getting the call up here. I don't know if they really need a right-handed pinch hitter to come up. I mean, Dickerson's left-handed. Reimer Liriano would probably fit that bill, and he's on the 40-man. So I think you're going to see those two guys up here.
Joe on Twitter, we don't have it, but it brings up Tommy Medica, a guy who was here most of the year last year. What's his season been like?
Right, well, he's been hurt.
Yeah.
So he was not hitting well to begin with, got a little bit hot, and he's been hurt recently. He has not been part of the surge that El Paso has made recently. The big hitters there have been Jake Gobert, who has been doing a great job, Alex Dickerson, and the shortstop they picked up, the former Brewer shortstop, Hector Gomez, is hitting like .379. It's the highest he's ever hit anywhere.
And now Hunter Renfroe, he's
right.
really
and Hunter Renfroe,
a step up.
Right, has 5 homers and 13 RBIs since he got promoted to AAA from San Antonio.
All right, so we can make a list here. Sorry, Mike.
No, you're good.
We can make a list. You expect we see whom by the end of this thing up here in San Diego?
Oh, I think definitely Dickerson and Liriano. I don't know if Middlebrooks is healthy. I think he'd be back. Maybe Jake Gobert. They might add another corner infielder. But I don't think you're going to see wholesale position players up here.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit before, but John Edwards is the guy I want to see.
Oh, John Edwards is
Texas.
Definitely.
Another relief pitcher.
I think John Edwards will definitely be at it. Right. But, yeah, that's another – I wouldn't be surprised to see John Edwards get at least one look in one save situation.
Yeah.
He leads the PCL in saves right now. He's also on the all-PCL team. And I think they're high on this guy, but they want to see he's a little bit older, 27, so they want to see what he can do.
And Chris Rierich back. How weird is that?
Yeah.
Right. back on the 40-man.
No, he's
–
Yes, he is on the 40-man, but he's at San Antonio, and I don't think that that's not somebody that's really – that they're counting on.
It's been a weird couple weeks for him. Padres,
yes.
Rangers, and now back to the Padres. All right, 2 more tweet questions while Bill is here. Craig is up first. And let's go with this question. He says, do you think Josh Johnson will be brought back next year? That's what Craig has
Ooh.
To say. Bullpen session, he's been working his tail off.
Right.
Missed all of last year, missing all of this year. Do you roll the dice again?
Well, I think if you roll the dice – again, it will be strictly as a relief pitcher. I think his days of being looked at as a starter are gone, and now you're going to be looking at your bullpen and saying, if you can get him really cheap, maybe on a minor league contract, you might take a look at him as a relief pitcher, but he's no longer a starter.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. All right, one more question while Bill is here. And you know, we're sitting here, we're talking about roster expansion September 1st. We haven't done a good job of explaining it, and Jellyman says, hey, he's being honest, I never learned how this works. Are there still 25 guys? What's the deal? It's a good question. So on September 1st, major league teams, forget 25, pretend it never existed, they can have as many as 40
Right. They
guys.
Got everybody on their 40-man roster could be up here.
Very few teams do the
right.
full 40. You can call up 0 guys. You can call up 1 guy. You can call up 15 guys and anything in between. And they are all available to you in any given game, which
right.
a lot of people think, and I'm raising my hand, needs to be changed.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember in the 2010 pennant race when the Rockies had like 9 relief pitchers came up, and in one inning, they were able to go, in a very key game for the Padres, they were able to go lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty in one inning.
Because they had that many extra
arms. I mean, and like Pat Murphy said today, you don't want to do something that really impacts a team that's in the playoff race with your extra players, which is what they did.
Talked about this a little bit last night with Mark Granite Sweeney on TV. For me, the solution is really, really simple. You do an active roster, and maybe it's 25 guys, maybe it's 27, maybe it's 28,
right,
whatever it is. And just like in football, hockey, and basketball, you say, hey, tonight for this game against the Texas Rangers, here are the three or four, however many extra guys that are active. And those are the only people
right
who are actually allowed to come into
the
game.
I think 27 or 28 is a perfect number for September. You can have 32 up here, but at any given time, you have to designate 127 you can use during a game.
Right.
I'm all for that idea, too. I love it.
It makes too much sense.
It really does.
Right.
It's a common sense solution, and very rarely do those actually happen. All right. Bill, great insight, great info as always. Thank you for coming down and spreading some of your knowledge
over
us. We appreciate it. Bill was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break when we come back. More from the AMR studio as we get you ready for Game 2 against the Texas Rangers.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Back at Petco Park, Game 2 of this three-game series against the Texas Rangers is coming up. With Mike Grace, I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Bill Center for stopping by, talking about the minor league situation, the call-up situation, the rehab situation for Will Myers. And Will's rehab assignment is underway up the street in Elsinore. People hate when I say that, when I say up the street.
Really?
I always get a hard time on Twitter. I referred to L.A. once kind of jokingly as like up the street. And people thought maybe I didn't really realize how far it was, but we're not being so literal here. But up the street in Lake Elsinore, the Storm tweeting out a little bit of an update. Will Myers shows little rust in his first game action since June 13th. A line drive single to right field in his first at bat.
And I guarantee you, he just texted Murph, says, "I'm ready. Bring me back."
He ran back into the clubhouse at Lake Elsinore at the Diamond, and he said, "I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. One swing. I'm good."
Every update we've had on Will just gets me so excited because I just love watching him play.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for him to get back.
No, me neither. He is very, very fun to watch. All right, game two of the series coming up. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres. It is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Jed Jerko once again at shortstop tonight, but Solarte once again leading off. This is basically last night's lineup, right?
Yeah.
A different pitcher in the eighth spot once again. But when you beat up on the Rangers 7-0, why change anything? Solarte, Alonzo Kemp, Upton, Jerko, Spangenberg, Hedges, Cashner, and Jankowski.
And it keeps saying it. Jed Jerko looks like a baseball player at shortstop. I mean, he makes really smooth, natural baseball motions there, and he does not look awkward at all. Now, the range might not be there, but he looks good.
That's what it is. There's not going to be a ton of range, but he can handle everything else.
Yep.
And, Murph said yesterday, it gives them the opportunity to do some other things, and that means, Spangenberg being in there. It means, whatever else.
Yeah.
Gives them some flexibility to try and figure some other things out. That's another one to keep an eye on over the course
really
of the rest
is.
Of this season. It absolutely is. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, and when we come back, maybe a little head-to-head challenge, Blooper v. Grace. Wrap it up right after this, Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back to Petco Park, just about 40 minutes away. No, 30, yeah, 40 minutes away
yeah.
from first pitch. Andrew Cashner taking on Yovani Gallardo, the former Milwaukee Brewer. Game two of this three-game series. Mike Grace, Seth Blooper, head-to-head challenge. Every day you pick somebody from the lineup. Whoever has the better game gets a point. We're all tied, right, Blooper? Oh, my goodness. Blooper had a four-point lead this week. Or last week, I guess. The couch has come roaring back. Tonight, Grace, you represent the couch, but Blooper has the first pick. Who you got?
Cashner.
All right, he's taking the cash man. What about you?
El Nino.
Oh, Solarte at the top of the order. All right. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge at Supercuts. They pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We're running out of time, but did you see how there is the chicken pox going around the Kansas City Royals clubhouse?
Yes.
That is not good.
No.
That's like really not, it sounds silly, but like when you're a grown-up, chicken pox, no bueno.
No, it's really bad for
adults. That's crazy. All right, thanks everybody for hanging out. Thanks to Brenda and Jason for hanging out all show.
Thanks, guys.
Relaxing with us. Back tomorrow at 5:30, Jordan and Bill will be here. I'll be on the radio with Bob Scanlon. So have a lovely evening, enjoy the game, and go Padres.